the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
I'm doing pretty good. You know, the volume on your end is pretty low.
Just let me know. All right. Well, how about this? Does this help a little bit?
Oh, maybe a touch more.
You want more?
There we go.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, you were sounding like a cat at the bottom of a barrel.
Still time for that. Probably for the next half hour.
This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel. Broadcast talk in Sound Off mode.
Hey, is it too early to start talking about Canadian Music Week? The venerable conference, some call the Big Schmooze, is set for April, and I speak with conference facilitator Greg Simpson about what to expect this year, but also about how the conference has changed over the years and why you should go. This week's podcast is brought to you by PromoSuite and the cloud-based paperless studio system, PromoSuite Next. For over 25 years, you've known PromoSuite as radio's original promotions management system, helping promotions teams and programmers manage their contest winners, liners, sales requests, remotes, prize fulfillment, and much more. Today, over 2,500 radio stations across the United States and Canada use PromoSuite Next to control chaos, reduce paper, and reclaim the time you really want to spend creating great campaign concepts. Remember, every moment you're decoding someone's handwriting is a moment you can never get back. To learn more, go to promosuite.com/soundoff.
The Sound Off Podcast streams 3 times a week at InRadio. To hear shows like this one, hit them up at nrad.io.
Speaking of which, I believe PromoSuite is going to be a Canadian Music Week, right, Greg?
They usually are. If they are not this year, then it'll be the first time in over 20 years that they haven't been.
No, they told me they are.
Rocco that came up, and now Rachel and CJ are there, and among my favorite people to work with.
Right then. Just one more piece of business and we'll get to you, Greg. The Sound Off Podcast is brought to you by Pepper Prep, a radio show prep service since 2014 with over a decade of on-air experience. It focuses on topical on-air content to better your show. On-air, online, or podcast for an affordable price. Pay-per-day option for those who need the occasional prep. Although based in Canada, clients subscribe from Dubai, UK, Cayman Islands, and the US. Pepper Prep also offers podcast editing, podcast air checks, and social media consulting to better your social media presence. Sign up now for a free trial at pepperprep.com.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel.
Greg Simpson knows everyone. Maybe you met him when he was working on the radio in London, or as a record promoter, or at Canadian Music Week, where he's the everywhere man. The lineup is coming together for Canadian Music Week, April 18th to the 20th at the Sheraton Centre in Toronto. Greg Simpson joins me on the phone now from Vancouver. Hey, Greg, how did you first come into contact to doing your first Canadian Music Week, and when was it?
It was 1993. I had left CFPL-FM in London, where I'd been for a decade and a half. And having attended every national music conference since 1969 and getting used to having somebody else pay for it for me, I didn't want to stop going. So I called Neil and said, you know, he knew me well because we'd known each other since 1970, and said, I no longer work for the radio station. Is there anything I can do to help so that I can attend? And he said, yeah, come on down. And he immediately put me in charge of the loading dock, which was something different than I thought I would be doing. But the fact is, I learned more about logistics that first weekend than my entire career had taught me previously. And since then, part of what I do to make a living is working logistics for Canadian Music Week, although a different job than running the loading dock. And I also do major festivals and so on as stage manager and organize a lot of things for a lot of people. Took a few years, but finally Neil put me in charge of programming the radio conference. And I've done that ever since, as well as during the weekend. I do all the logistics for all the speakers and panels that we do under the title of Conference Facilitator, a title I made up myself. And last year, as an example of the intensity of that work, I had 100 panels and 500 speakers in 3 days to get started and stopped on time.
How has Canadian Music Week changed over the years since you joined it?
Well, it's certainly gotten larger. When I first came on board, as I mentioned, I had been running the loading dock. We used to have an exhibition as a major part of the conference that had over 150 exhibitors. And that first year at the Sheraton, which is where we are now too, the Sheraton wasn't set up properly for any kind of a trade show. So we had exhibitors everywhere you turned. The year following, when we went to the Harbor Castle, I again was running the exhibition. And like by then, I was not only doing the loading dock, but the exhibition itself. And actually, we may have gone to the MTCC the second year I was there, and then the Harbor Castle. The MTCC, of course, which is the Metro Toronto Convention Center, for those that don't know. Loading dock went straight into the exhibition area. And the year following at the Harbor Castle, then we had a pretty major exhibition in a convention center that was actually across the street from the hotel. So we did the panels in the hotel and then used the land bridge to get to the exhibition area. And I think we did that for 2 or 3 years in that giant convention center. By the time that one was done, Neil had taken me off that and put me in charge of programming the radio conference. Then, as years have gone by, I have worked my way into other responsibilities. I do about 3 or 4 different jobs for CMW. Now, in terms of how much it's changed, as you asked, initially it started out as a conference that existed for the record companies and radio. But now we run 5 consecutive conferences at the same time, a digital conference, a radio conference, a music conference, a singer-songwriters conference, and a digital conference. And we take full use of the facilities of the hotel because obviously the conferences do overlap. This year, for example, the radio conference is the first 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. The digital conference runs in conjunction with the radio conference. By the Friday, we've moved on to the music conference and the songwriters conference and, whatever else I mentioned. It's quite complex. It's basically a moving jigsaw puzzle. Can you imagine if the jigsaw puzzle kept moving on you? Or certain pieces of that jigsaw puzzle said, I got a cold, I'm not going to make it today.
Yeah, well, you're in charge of making the pieces fit.
That's my gig.
Yeah. So I guess the thing that I really, really like is the fact that the radio and the digital are now side by each. What used to be, you know, digital first and then the radio people would show up in the last 5 years has really morphed into the conferences happening at about the same time where you can share some speakers and people can share knowledge between the two.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing, you know, I deal with a lot of American conferences because part of my gig is going to other conferences to basically suss out speakers that we might want to engage and occasionally get an idea that we haven't thought of yet as a presentation at CMW. And the one thing that the Americans tend to say is, your conference is so happening, I wish we could do a conference like that. And I say, well, the difference is, with 10 times our population, we get about 3,000 delegates a year. You'd have to find a place that could hold 30,000 delegates because our conference, unlike others, is about all these different elements coming together and interacting with each other. You know, we do a few crossover panels that are meant to serve too. Certainly digital and radio are combined in some topics where your radio pass gets you into the digital and vice versa. And certain of the elements of the music conference, like our annual Jukebox Jury, is a crossover between radio and the music conference. So people can sort of see behind the curtain as to what goes on in the process of a record rep pushing a record to a music director and the music director's reaction and declaration of potential action.
I do remember being in one of those juries and watching it transpire and adding the record the next week.
Yeah.
So those things do work.
Well, you know, the thing is, we've got some new guys that are promoting records, and we have some of the old hands that promote records. And I'm really impressed with the younger guys, people like, Oscar Furtado and Mike Rice. I mean, Mike did have major label experience, but these guys work the indies. And on the other hand, we've got guys like Steve Cody from Warner, Warren Kopnick from Sony, and Paul Jessup from Universal, who have got enough experience to understand that it's all about the relationships. And that's what we try to pass on in the Jukebox Jury, is that there is a relationship between the record industry and the music industry that has, in some respects, suffered over the last 20 years. But at the same time, the record companies have never stopped using radio to expose their product, and radio has never stopped hoping that they get something in the mail every day that they can consider adding, not to mention the fact that the record company is still the best place to get free tickets.
I guess the one thing you could say is that record reps may not stop by the radio station as much anymore because you don't need to. You get the record digitally. However, the best time of the year to meet your record rep and meet them all is at the conference.
Absolutely. And, you know, the younger people that are just beginning to experience how the industry works, that one panel alone is the best way to understand what is expected of somebody who has a record. You know, I used to promote records, you know that, because you and I used to talk on the phone weekly. And the whole thing is about the relationship between the record pitcher and the radio programmer. And I can remember you and I have had many wonderful conversations over the year, sometimes drastically veering off into talking about professional wrestling, of which we're both fans. But at the same time, you know, if you didn't like my record, I never took it personally. And, you know, if you did like my record and added it, then, of course, I pronounced to the world that I wanted to have your babies.
Okay, well, it's good to know that part of the industry hasn't changed.
So, well, you know, I mean, there's like, take a guy like Warren Kopnick at Sony. Warren is as much an entertainer as any artist he's ever promoted. And Warren Kopnick presenting at Jukebox Jury is worth attending just to see what he's up to. He did one a couple of years ago where he pulled out all the stops, and the only thing he didn't do when he was done is drop the mic.
They call him the Kosher Cowboy, and he'll be on display again this year.
Yes, he will.
Radio Interactive, the International Radio Summit this year, what do you have on tap? That you can tell us, even though we're still
a few months out in the process, yeah. You know, and there's a lot of people I've talked to who have said, yeah, I'm going to do what you ask, but we haven't received back their formal acceptance yet. I do know that we're going to do one on podcasting this year, which should interest you. We're bringing in Steve Goldstein, who is one of the top proponents of internet radio, or pardon me, of podcasting from the United States. He works for a company called Amplify Media. And that panel, at this point, we are confirmed. It will include Humble and Fred, whose podcast is probably the primary, with all respect to you, the primary podcast in the country at this stage, because they do have pretty good backing and they've learned how to monetize it very well. We're also going to have Alan Cross on that panel. And there's one or two other people that I'm still seeking a commitment from. We'll be doing one on internet radio. We're bringing in Kurt Hansen from the Radio and Internet Newsletter out of Chicago. He'll moderate that. And Kurt, by the way, will be our day host as well. I used to be the day host for it, but since I got into the process of actually running all the speakers, I need help. So Kurt is our radio host this year, and he will moderate our internet radio panel. We're going to be doing you know, in the past, we've done a top execs panel, but I've felt myself, and I've actually heard a couple of people tell me that though it's the best attended panel we have every year because nobody wants to be told later by their boss that he didn't see them in the audience, this year I'm shifting that up. I'm going with VPs and people that run programming for all the companies across the country, and we're going to call it a leadership panel. That's a working title, by the way. We'll come up with something really hilarious later. But the leadership panel will include the national PDs or the national talent directors, et cetera, people that are responsible for the talent and the executives across the country, all speaking on, as we said, leadership. And we've got a great leader to moderate that, confirmed. That's Pat Holliday, who, you know, Pat Holliday worked for Astral for years, rose to the top there. But then when the big merger happened, Pat went out on his own. He's now a pretty successful consultant, including working stations in the province that you work in. So, and there are others yet to be announced. You know, I'm working on pretty much everything that our broadcast advisory committee suggested they wanted us to do. There'll be, you know, there'll be presentations on websites and apps for radio stations specifically. And, you know, I've got top website guys and app guys from both Canada and the United States have agreed to appear on that. We will also be doing our annual Broadcasters Roundtable. And as soon as we find sponsorship for that, I will be able to say Broadcasters Roundtable Breakfast. That's, you know, putting on breakfast for 200 people in a hotel is a fairly expensive proposition. So the last couple of years, we've gone with Danishes and coffee, but we'd like to get back to the eggs and sausage and bacon if we can.
25 catalogs, over 2,000 albums, 61,000 songs, 197,000 tracks. Megatrax has everything you need to create the perfect sounds for your station, podcast, or digital program. Our flagship catalog, Megatrax, has hundreds of albums covering a huge array of genres and styles. Deep East Music and No Sheet Music deliver international sounds straight out of London. Sensacion brings an authentic Latin flair to every album and is recorded live by local musicians. Megatrax also has a huge collection of FFX, sound design, and narration mixes to give you full creative freedom to make any type of production imaginable. Head on over to Megatrax.com or call us at 818-255-7100 for your music licensing requests. That's Megatrax.com.
You might have already answered it, but what is some of the feedback that you get from year to year? You mentioned that you do have a broadcasters conglomerate or panel that get together to give you that feedback. What have you found in the last two or three years that's been consistent that you have to move towards?
Well, the one thing that is most consistent, and I really, really sincerely try my best to make this happen, is we're always told we don't have enough women on our panels. And my snap response generally is put more women at the heads of broadcasting, you know, either as program directors or VPs or even as in the case of Julie Adam, your national person, you know. If I had more women to draw from, I would be able to maintain the quality of our panels and include women as well. In most cases, you know, historically, if you're a woman working for a radio company, you're probably working in the promotions department. Now we have women on air. As a matter of fact, this year at the Industry Awards Dinner, which is our big Thursday night blowout, our Broadcasters Hall of Fame inductee this year is Marilyn Dennis, who is a legend. I'm trying to put together a talent panel right now, which will be moderated by Warren Kurtzman of Coleman Insights. And I'm probably going to keep to Toronto shows on that because it's easy to get a morning show that's living in Toronto to come and do a panel in Toronto. It's pretty hard to get somebody to come in from Vancouver or Montreal or Ottawa because they can't afford the time. They got to be on the air the next morning. So, you know, there will be women on that panel. The other thing I hear regularly is, quite honestly, that, you know, it's something that nobody will ever miss unless there's a reason they can't be there, you know, the conference overall, because it is the great schmooze of the year. You know, for the secondary markets, let's take somebody working in Red Deer or Yorkton. You know, if their company picks up the ticket, then they're there. And the fact that they're there is often the way that they move ahead in the industry as well, because they're interacting with the big deals. I can name a few people, which I won't bother going into, who started out in places like Lloydminster, who, you know, worked their way to Canadian Music Week, made their connections, and then went on to serious programming positions and management positions in a couple of cases with much larger companies. So it is a place to not only be just the guy that somebody who could make a difference has heard of, but a chance to meet them and interact with them, perhaps lead to friendships that eventually become jobs. You know what I mean?
I do. Let's move over to the digital side.
Yeah.
And this has started, I guess, about, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago that it began to start quietly and then got one day?
Yeah, we did. I think the first time was about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I don't program that one. That is programmed by another member of our staff who does a wonderful job. And we look for opportunities to, to interconnect the two. Like keynote speakers that cover both, that sort of thing. And speaking of that, they have booked Ken Rutkowski from Los Angeles to be a keynote for the digital conference. But, you know, his message is such that it can work for radio as well, and will if I don't find a desired keynote speaker for the radio conference. The digital conference was recognition of the fact that the new technology affects every level of the industry. Whether it's broadcasting, whether it's the record companies, even, the recording industry and the songwriting discipline. These things now, I mean, you know, I remember some years ago, a good friend of mine from Toronto, a former Juno-winning artist, was making a new album, but he wanted to work with a vocalist that he'd previously worked with. Difference is, the one lived in Toronto, the other lived in Dallas, Texas. So he contacted him and said, I got a vocal part I want you to do. 2 days later, he had it over the computer. And the fact that that was possible, and it was, you know, perfectly mixed, everything was good. The fact that that was able to happen was beyond me, because I've been in the industry for 52 years now, but at the time, I'd only been in it a mere 46 years or 45 years, and I had never heard of that possibility of two people making a record together and never having to be in the same city.
I should point out, though, that the digital side is going to be hosted by Rob Braid, who's a longtime radio general manager in Montreal. He ran Shome for many years, Mix 96, CJFM, CJAD. Those stations, and you know, he's taken his company Braid Media into the digital stratosphere. So there's really a lot of interconnection between the radio and digital, so much so that you had to put them on the same days.
What we did is we made it possible for somebody buying a radio pass to not have to buy a full digital pass to be able to attend both. You know, a price break, so to speak. They still had to pay for both, but they didn't have to pay a full ticket for the digital if they were attending the radio. And, the cost to attend either is about the same. So if somebody wants to attend both, like I say, there is a price break. What we discovered initially is the crossover in attendance was mostly radio guys wanting to know more about digital, and less so the digital people wanting to know more about radio, because the digital people look at the big picture. They don't look at a specific branch of the picture. Whereas radio has to look at digital to prepare themselves for the future. And some of them even speak in alphanumerics, which I certainly don't.
I guess you had to look at the calendar and figure that the first week of April's got a Jewish holiday, the second one's got a Christian holiday, and you're on the third week.
Well, yes, and we're the, I don't want to say we're the atheist holiday, but we're the ones that are allowed to think more freely. The dates for CMW this year are 18th, 19th, and 20th, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Neil Dixon, who is the president of CMW, has created another conference that's going to immediately follow CMW, a business-to-business conference for the cannabis industry called O Cannabiz. So while we're loading out CMW on the Friday night, we're loading in O Cannabiz, and that's shaping up to be quite the event as well. Everything that anybody who wants to be involved in this soon-to-be-legalized billion-dollar industry can make the connections they need to in much the same way that the music industry interacts at Canadian Music Week. And actually, it strikes me as kind of humorous that we're loading in on 420.
Well, you've got the audience are all there, and they're certainly all engaged, or maybe they're not engaged.
Well, it depends upon how much they've done.
So for anybody who's listening to this podcast right now, they're thinking about the 18th, 19th, 20th of April. What can they do online to engage further?
Well, the CMW website is www.cmw.net. And if one goes there, they will be directed to each of our conferences, such as they are already. I mean, every one of our conferences is still in a state of flux. There is, I believe, a schedule up. You know, by middle of February, everything should be locked in. And we've already started our marketing. We did our first newsletter on radio last week, in which we highlighted Gavin McGarry, who is going to be there. And you can sign up to receive those newsletters online for any of the conferences that interest you. You know, you can buy a ticket already, taking advantage of the early bird pricing, of course. And you can just perhaps make it a favorite so you can go back there on a regular basis and see what's going on. Also, we've started accepting submissions for the award shows. I tend to call them submissions for consideration for nomination, because if you submit, it doesn't mean you're automatically on the ballot. We do have juries that work behind the scene to appraise all the applicants. And once their work is done, then we create a ballot that people can vote on within the industry.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to that event and receiving my best podcast award.
You know what? There's a category that we haven't created yet, but I would think the way things are going, by next year, it'll be something that we cannot ignore. You know, there are a number of podcasts going on right now, and there should be an award for it. But at this point in time, I've alluded to it already, if there's one podcast in the country that everybody knows about right now that's in the industry, it would be Humble and Fred. And others like your own, the Sound Off podcast and Broadcast Dialogue now has developed a podcast, and a few others, but there's not enough of them yet to create a proper ballot.
There'll be some rules to go along with that one when it comes in the near future, but you're right. It's only about a year or two away before that one lands in the award show.
And and I'll be doing one myself probably within the next year or so.
Fantastic.
I'm already seeking. What I'm looking for mine is, you know me as a music guy, and I am a music guy. What I do on Facebook every day, every single day of the year, is something that I want to transfer to a podcast, but I need to get an investor so that I can pay performance fees because I use music, you know?
Yeah, we had that conversation with Alan Cross earlier on this podcast about how hard it is to get music onto a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, the rights holders, which includes the record companies and the publishers, will recognize that podcasts are growing to the point that it's another element for exposure for their artists. And yet does not have the buy rate that radio stations have, for example. For those that don't know and listen to this podcast, the cost of putting music over the air on a traditional radio station runs into well over six figures a year. And that's for the right to use the artist, the right to use the songwriters, the right to use the record itself. and it's coming at us from three different directions. I'm thinking that the industry has to be looking at a way that they can maximize the changes in how business is done and further expose the artists and songwriters that are under their watch.
I was going to finish the interview by just asking you to tell us a little bit about the Almost Forgotten track. You post it on your Facebook page every day. I connect with it through PugetSoundRadio.com.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. It's a look back.
Yeah, well, the today's Almost Forgotten tracks, I started 6 years ago, soon after I moved to the West Coast from Ontario. It had been something I was going to start, but I knew I had a move coming up, and, you know, soon after I would start it, there'd be a two-week gap of nothing. But soon after I got here, I started posting them every morning, and it is completely spontaneous. Around 9 o'clock every morning, I sit there and think, what do I want to post? And then I go find it, and I post it. I also post every single day another series called Teniversary, which is a track that is like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, as long as it ends in a zero. Yesterday, for example, I posted the Beatles performing Some Other Guy at the Cavern Club, which opened its doors 60 years ago yesterday and got great response to that. You know, so it's just me showing off my knowledge, and I happen to be very proud of that knowledge. It's what's kept me going for 52 years. I'm also pleased with the number of people that respond to it on a daily basis. The worst tracks still get 20 or 30 likes, and the best tracks can be up towards 100 likes every day. And like I say, it's just an ego trip for me, but it's part of what I've always done since I was in high school, is expose music to others. That's why I was a successful music director for some years. The knowledge that I have, which is trivia to some, is my bread and butter to me.
When I met you, you were living in London. You're now living in Vancouver. Are you outside right now?
No, but I've got the door open.
Yeah, it sounds like I can hear traffic outside.
Yeah, a bus just went by as you asked that question.
Yeah.
It is raining today, but it's cool because the rain is doing something that it rarely has to do in Vancouver. It's washing away the last month's snow.
Greg, thanks so much for being on the podcast this week, and we will see you at Canadian Music Week.
All right, Matthew.
All right, man.
Have a good day.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Cundall.
Hi, I'm Amanda Logan. The Sound Off Podcast was created to inspire the creation of better broadcasting. When you advertise on the Sound Off Podcast, you get your message into the ears of other broadcasters and out in front of our Facebook fans, Twitter followers, and website visitors. When you engage with our sponsors, you are supporting the podcast. There are other ways to help us out, including rating and reviewing episodes, subscribing, by taking our audience survey on the website, or simply telling a friend. For an advertising rate card, email soundoff@mattcundall.com.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by PromoSuite and the cloud-based paperless studio system, PromoSuite Next. To learn more, go to promosuite.com/soundoff. When you're at the site, you'll be well-schooled for when you meet CJ, Rachel, and Rocco at CMW in April. They're there every year and at other radio conferences across North America. That's the podcast for this week. If you're in need of some talent coaching or consulting, please consider me.
The Sound Off Podcast was produced by Evan Cerminski and recorded in the master studio of mattcundallvoice.com. Please rate and review episodes. It will help others find the show. To advertise on the podcast, email soundoff@mattcundall.com or download a rate card from the website and follow us and like us wherever great social media content is shared.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.